Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today is Emilio Donnell and Yanis Janaeus. This episode centers around the latest informed news, along with an analysis of all the positions, and we will discuss how strong the club is at each one. We have much to get through, but before we do anything, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show. First, Mr. Janaeus, how are you doing?
I'm bloody lovely today. It's nice here. It's 26 degrees, and it's been sunny all day, and it's yet another day when I've not had to see my mother-in-law. So all is good in the hood.
That's great, my friend. Listen, I look forward to doing this show with you. Before we do anything, I have to welcome Emilio back to the show. Emilio, how are you doing?
Hi there, guys. Hi, Russ. Hi, Yanis. Hello there. It's similarly warm here in sunny Wimbledon land over the last week or so. So it's all been about strawberries and cream and Wimbledon tennis. We've got a cracking second week of Wimbledon tennis to look forward to this week with all the powerhouses all progressing through. So I'm looking forward to some excitement and sort of sampling the atmosphere in the local village. But, you know, getting a bit of Fulham withdrawal symptoms at the moment as well. So it's good to do the show. And you know, with only less than a month away, believe it or not, it's less than 4 weeks yesterday, the season.
Unbelievable.
Can you believe?
We are right around the corner now, Emilio.
The usual thing, looking forward to the new season, but I know it's early days, transfer season and et cetera, but you know, we're going to cover a lot of it in the show again, but you know, it's starting to get a little bit nervous. I'd like to see some end products, and once started off a good start to the preseason a few weeks ago, it's gone a little bit quiet of late. So yeah, let's just let's talk about it in the show today anyway. But yeah, it's good to be on.
It's good to have you on. All right, guys, before we get going, I do want to mention one thing. We've had a loss, and just want to dedicate this episode to Mike Gregg's mother. Unfortunately, Mike lost his mother last week, and my thoughts and prayers go to the Gregg family and Mike, of course. And I'm thinking about you, Mike. Guys, we've all lost parents, and it's difficult, and I want to dedicate this episode to Mike's mother. And Emilio, we've all gone through this, and I'm still dealing with it, and I'm sure you're dealing with it as well, your loss.
Absolutely. Mine's, you know, 18 months ago my father passed away, so it's still fresh in my mind. And you know, those memories never go away. I actually came back, I went and paid my respects early on at the cemetery this afternoon. So you know, I tend to go weekly, if not every 2 weeks, just to pay my respects, just to say a few prayers and just to talk to him. You know, there's nothing wrong to go and talk to to your parents. And you know, I know what Mike's going through at the moment, so
yeah, it's hard.
Is with him and his family, and you know, as I said to him, you know where we are, Mike. If you need to talk to us, you just want a shoulder to lean on, or just want to talk Fulham, all you got to do is just call us anytime. So
absolutely, it's a tough time for Mike, and I was thinking about him. I was like, you know what, I have to dedicate this episode to his mom, and I'm glad we can do that. And my thoughts are with him. And Yanis, you lost your father as well last year, and it's a hard time, so we all understand what Mike's going through.
Yeah, it's actually a week on Friday, it will be 1 year. Yeah. So I was in Scotland when he passed, but it's still a little bit surreal. And I think often the part of the challenge dealing with bereavement, I mean, every person holds it a little differently, but it's how the family reacts to it as well. But my mum is, so. And she's had difficulties in the last year dealing with it. And it's a tricky time. I think we know that time is a healer. And Amelia's put it beautifully. For Mikey, I know you'll be listening. So if you need to pick up a phone, I'll tweet you my cell number. We can have a chat and what have you.
Yeah, and I just want to say one last time, glad that you guys both said that. Mike, if you're listening to this podcast, we're all there for you. So please feel free to contact any of us. We all would talk to you about it.
For sure.
So I just want to mention that. And one last time, we are dedicating this episode of Cottage Talk to Mike Gregg's mother. All right. All right, guys, let's get going into the show. We are going to be looking at all the positions, and there are storylines with all the positions. But before we do that, we have a story we have to talk about once again, and it involves Slavica Jokanović. Last week, there was an article by John Cross in the Daily Mirror about potentially issues again with Slavica and Craig Klein. Yes, it has shown up once again. Yanis, I'll go to you first. What are your thoughts about the article, and what are your thoughts about this potential situation? Do you worry about this, or do you think this is paper talk? What are your thoughts on it?
I think it's the latter. I hate to use a Trumpian phrase here because I despise the man. But I think it's fake news. Okay. It's just finding a real. I mean, there've been a few jobs available in the Premier League where I know Slavisa would have been considered. But he said in the media, he's focused on the task at hand. You know, obviously the preseason tour they're going through on now. They come back to play the Ha-Has. He'll be working hopefully with the brass in terms of bringing players in, and you know, potentially the imminent signing of Diego Roland. So I think it's sexy in the sense that, you know, it gives us all something to talk about. But I really, I don't necessarily believe what's happening. I think it's just it's what do we call it? Yeah, it's paper talk, gutter press. Where there's smoke, there's fire. But I think in this particular case, it's not there.
Okay, interesting. And Emilio, I want to get your thoughts on this, because when I first saw this, I thought about the discussion you and I had with Tony Khan. We talked about it. I asked him about that, about his relationship with Slavisa and the situation with the transfers. And he said he had a very good relationship with Slavisa, and that, you know, there was, I'm paraphrasing, but if I can remember correctly, he didn't see there as being a problem. What are your thoughts about this? Do you agree with Giannis that it's just paper talk, fake news, or do you think that there's something there?
Both. I think there is an element of it maybe being over-exaggerated, maybe overstated. But
you think maybe there's just a frustration there?
I think there's definitely something there. You know, you know, we know what Slavisa isn't necessarily the most patient of people. I think he needs to be patient with his management team anyway. So, again, we saw that with Tony Khan when we interviewed him back in March. When I saw Tony in May time, I spoke to him at the dinner, Film Supporters Trust dinner. He gave me no indication there was unhappiness. He said that everyone was behind Slavisa. Everyone will support him accordingly. But Slavisa, we know, is not a patient person. You know, he would have liked to have gone on the pre-season tour to Poland with a few more acquisitions and under his belt, and to start building a structure, a formation, trial a few other new players out. That's where I think the so-called fake news is linked to. Not the fact that he can take another big job elsewhere, the fact that we had the tour lined up and he had already targeted a few signings, and then they're not in sight at the moment. We're slow again in the transfer market, which is disappointing. We've made some good long-term signings with existing players, and that's a big tick in the box. And those are big news. But, you know, would he have wanted to start to see maybe a striker already having been signed before going away on pre-season and trialling him? Yes, he would have wanted to see that. So I think there is some truth behind this. I'm not saying it's obviously overstating it. The journalists are obviously trying to sell papers. So anything right. They get their hands on, this will generate some interest and it will spark interest amongst the Fulham community. But, you know, to say it's totally fake, I disagree. I think there is an element of truth. And Slavisa, not patient person at the best of times. If he doesn't get what he wants, we know what he's capable of doing. And that's, we just need to be mindful of that.
Okay, very interesting. And listen, I want to go back to you because again, I'm thinking about our conversation with Tony, and he talked about the conversations that they have that, you know, listen, they're not going to agree all the time. And that's why my first thought on this, Emilio, that this is an over-exaggeration. Like you mentioned, I think that's where I'm kind of going on this. In my opinion, I think maybe this is a frustration that things aren't done yet. And maybe, like you said, he's not a completely patient person, and this is just part of the process. And until he gets the players he wants, there could be some frustration. That's where I'm going on it. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think it's also around the criteria for Klein to, in terms of the type of signings he goes for. So yeah, there's, again, this imbalance between what Slavisa wants and what Klein wants. And unfortunately, they don't always handshake. And Slavisa knew what he was getting himself into. He knows what that criteria is. And he's targeting certain types of players who, for example, who are over 28, 30 years of age. They're obviously out of scope with immediate effect. So there's an immediate frustration there. There's no compromise. There's no flexibility. It's my rules or else. So I can see why there would be some ructions. There'll be some confrontation there and some disagreements. It's healthy to have disagreements. It's healthy to we don't want a yes team here. We want a board who want to purchase the right signings, will sell at the right time, and will give the coach and back the coach at the best at all times possible. But, you know, life isn't that easy sometimes. And if what one wants and what they'll get, unfortunately, like talking cheese sometimes. So right. You know, I think there is some truth there. It's sort of the timing of it is right, i.e. early pre-season. transfer window sort of officially open, on pre-season tour, no key signings made. You can see it sort of ticking the boxes and it's starting to create some uncertainty in speculation. We've got to nail that on the head immediately, get some signings this week, and John Cross can go, you know, where he can go, basically. But to say, I think there's truth in it. Let's put it this way. There is something okay. going on behind the scenes that needs to be addressed immediately, or we're going to be very frustrated as fans over the next couple of months.
Well, listen, you know, again, this is just my opinion. I think that there might be what I would call healthy disagreements, because like you said, you don't want yes people, Emilio. And if that's what's going on, that basically they're going back and forth and they might not agree on everything, I don't have any issue with that. The issue would be if it escalates. But I want to go back to both of you. I want to ask you this because you brought up something interesting that I was thinking about. If this policy is accurate, we've heard speculation that they have this above 28-year-old policy. You know, and again, this isn't official. This is just speculation. If this is true, Emilio, and there's no, this is a rule and there's no way to bend that rule. See, that's where I would have an issue. I want to get your thoughts on that. I think there's always exceptions to the rule if you find the right player. What are your thoughts if that's their MO, if that's the rule? See, I don't have a problem with having a rule in principle that you don't want to sign players above 28-year-old. But I think that there are always exceptions to the rule if it's the right player. What are your thoughts on that? And then I'll go to you, Giannis.
I think if we look at circumstances, I think, you know, the championship needs, you know, a balance of young youth coming through, some hungry young players, some but experience as well. You don't get, you know, it's not easy to get experience in, you know, your early mid-20s. You know, experience comes at a price at times, you know, and sometimes having those sort of those 28 to 30-year-old players to come, you know, basically to offset the youth. I think in this division you need experience to get you out of it. You know, we're slowly selling or people are retiring. You know, that Scott Parker's this one, we lost that experience. We haven't got anyone above 26, 27, 28 at the moment. So not saying that's necessarily a bad thing, but it's very clear that Tony Khan backs Calvin Klein, as David Hulley puts it, 100% of the time. You know, there's basically he trusts him explicitly. And if that's what he wants to do, I think he's not going to budge. I think this is going to okay. these are the rules, and this is what he wants. And it's we know right. what the criteria is, and they're using their analysis, their metrics to find the players within that selection right. criteria. But in my opinion, this division, you need some experience heads and professionals who've been there, got their hands dirty, been successful at other divisions, other clubs, and that will be that's what we're missing at the moment. I think some experienced heads there. We've got some quality coming through, but sometimes when the going gets tough, there's nothing better than having an experienced professional too on the pitch who will calm the situation down, kick the players up the backside and just reunite the squad of 11. But if you haven't got that experience on the pitch, maybe that's a negative point in my opinion. So to answer your question, I think we have to be a little bit flexible. Right. But I don't see that happening with the guys at the helm at the moment.
See, that's unfortunately where I think this is going, Emilio. Again, this is all speculation we're talking about. But if it is as rigid as we think it is, you know, I wish it was more flexible because I think that there are exceptions to the rule. And I do think that you could find the right player over 28 that could actually help you. I think having that experience can help. Giannis, I want to get your thoughts on this. Again, this is all speculative because we've heard the stories that they have this policy of and I understand where it's coming from. I understand behind it. But with everything that they're doing, they seem to be extremely rigid in their decisions. Shouldn't there be some flexibility like Emilio's talking about? And I also want your just thoughts. If they do have this policy, do you agree with it?
Well, in a word, yeah. They do need to be flexible. I'm looking at someone like Cameron Jerome, for example, that's been mentioned as a potential
target. Yes, it has been. Right. He has been mentioned. Yeah,
as an example. I'm not saying. I mean, I saw that John Walters got transferred from Stoke to Burnley. That may have been, you know, just a Premier League move. He wouldn't drop a division, but there are players out there with really good experience that could help us. I go by the premise that, you know, to change is difficult, not to change is fatal. So I think we're going to need, with the loss of Scott Parker, we're going to need some experience somewhere along the line. But I think it's just going to – I mean, this is – the problem with the process in close season is it's constantly evolving. We can sit here now July the 9th and, you know, we've made a few signings, but we're not sure you know, what the brass will be looking at, if maybe they do have a couple of targets that, you know, who are a little bit older that we don't know about that they're going to surprise us with. Fulham tends to do things fairly quietly anyway. So I'm just going to sort of reserve judgment. I'd hope, like to think that, you know, the review of the season revealed, if not nothing else, that we maybe needed a tad more experience in the critical games. And a couple of wise heads, old heads. We're going to miss Scott Parker, but to be fair, Scott wasn't playing a lot. Another wise old head in the park, you know, on the field would probably help. So I'm hoping that not so much cooler, saner heads will prevail, and the brass at the top recognise that the need for a couple of older players will help us out.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, let's now break down the positions. And what I'd like to do is we're going to go through each and every one of them. And I also want you to rate the position by strength right now, based on who's still with the club at each position from 1 to 10. I want you to give a rating of where you see that position. So this could be very interesting. We're going to start with goalkeeper. I'm going to go to you, Giannis.
Yeah.
So the situation right now, there is speculation with both of our goalkeepers. There's a good amount of speculation with Marcus Bettinelli in Bristol City. There's speculation with David Button in Nottingham Forest. So there's stuff going around the team. It could just be talk. Maybe there's something more to it. So what are your thoughts about the goalkeeper position? And let's give it a strength number there from 1 to 10.
I'm going to give it I'll probably give it a 6.5. Button is undone, no pun intended. And if he's going to go to Nottingham Forest, I'd rather send him to a much thicker forest so he can get lost. Bettinelli, I like Bettinelli. I really do like Bettinelli, but is he a starting goalkeeper to get us to finish in the top two?
Do you think we need to upgrade here, Giannis?
Yes, I do. And I'm sure there are going to be goalkeepers out there that can fit the bill. You can just look at the Premier League, for example. There'll be a few out there. I think we're going to need to upgrade, unless, of course, Slavija is convinced that that Betts is the man, and he just needs to reshape that back four. Betts played well near the end of the season, so I've got no complaints with him starting, but it would be nice to get an upgrade. So I think 6.5 out of 10.
Okay. Emilio, over to you. I want to get your thoughts on the goalkeeper position. Like I mentioned, there's speculation with both goalkeepers. And I'm with Giannis. I think we need to bring in a goalkeeper. I think we need an upgrade here. So give me a positional strength number and your thoughts on the goalkeeper position in general.
Yeah, I think, you know, we sort of talked about it towards the end. I think at the end of the season, we thought, you know, where were the top three positions? Goalkeeper, I think I classified as being the fourth most priority position to upgrade. And I haven't changed my views. I still think they're very similar, Button and Bettinelli. I think they're different type of goalkeepers. You know, Buttons, you know, is in the mold of, you know, passing a ball out from defence, you know, better at distributing the ball, shall we say, than Bettinelli. Bettinelli probably commands his box a lot better, but they both have similar weaknesses and strengths, if that makes sense. I don't think they're good, both Premiership keepers, we know that. And, you know, Bettinelli would be my preferred starting 11, but if he's not happy or being uncertain about being a regular starter, you know, maybe we do need to upgrade in that area. We lost David Stockdale, but then again, he would have been outside of the age bracket, so we would have lost him as well, so we wouldn't have even targeted that. So I'm always of the view that if you think your current players in a certain position are not good enough, who would you have come in? I haven't got anybody I can recommend. And so I think there is a gap there. I'm saying we're 6 out of 10 strength-wise.
Okay.
But to say that if we need to say that we think that there needs to be someone better to start, we should come up with some options around who could we target. Do we have to go down into a foreign country to get a keeper? Because I can't think of anybody that would be better than what we've got who would be willing to come to Fulham and fit Klein's criteria as well. So it's a bit of a challenge there, to be honest. But yeah. Bettinelli had a good end of the season. He's a better team player. He motivates the team better. But against Reading, I think it was one other game towards the end of the season, we saw some of his weaknesses again. His kicking, his distribution, his uncertainty at times. So just we had a good run in when the team were playing well. When the chips were down against Reading, he looked a little bit nervous at times. So it's just, again, it's when the team play well, everyone plays well. When the team play badly, can Bettinelli keep the team going? We saw some weaknesses there at the end of last season. So yes, we need to upgrade, but I can't think of who would we get instead.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Melio, right back to you. Now let's talk about the center back position. This is an interesting situation here. Two center backs. We have Tim Ream, Michael Maddle, Ragnar Sigurdsson. They signed Marcelo Diallo. I actually watched him play in the first friendly match. He's a big guy. That's all I'm going to say. He looks a little awkward. But again, it's just a friendly. We'll have to see how that all works out. But they did bring in a center back. But we still have the situation with Tomas Kalas. He's still with Chelsea. He has not come back to Fulham, so that's an interesting situation. There have been some speculation with some other center backs as well. So what are your thoughts about the center back pair here? I think Tim Ream has worked out, but definitely want your thoughts. And what would you rate it with the players that we have right now?
If we say that as of now, without Tomas Kalas, who's not actually a Fulham player as we stand, probably saying about 3.5, 4 out of 10. You know, okay. And bear in mind, let's not, you know, and I'm not criticising Kalas here, and I think I've said this on the show or two in the past. Even with Kalas in central defence, we still conceded 52 goals, whatever it was. So let's be very clear. Yes, he puts a bit of certainty into the defence. We look more composed, more authoritative, and more structured when he's there. But we're not immune to conceding goals when he is playing in defence. We conceded quite a significant number of goals when he was fit and able to play willingly. So it's let's be very clear. He's a good defender. But he's not a great defender.
Would you want him back, Emilio?
Yes, I do. I think I do want him back. And at the end of the day, it's will we get him? Potentially. I think Chelsea, I think I've signed another central defender today. So again, they've got about 7 or 8 now. We're probably ahead of him. So he knows he needs to move.
Yeah.
It's down the road. A perfect club for him. The fans would love to have him back. But having him alone is not enough. So we still need to upgrade elsewhere. And Tim Ream, although he was I think he was the best central defender from January to the end of the season, he was more consistent than Kalas, made less mistakes. I still think, you know, we need to get another centre back to complement Kalas, in my opinion. We can't challenge for promotion and still concede 50 plus goals in a season. The style of football we play results in us being more at risk of conceding. I think that goes without saying. So we play an expansive brand of football. We do push up quite aggressively. That will leave gaps to the back, and we will concede goals. That's understood. Like a bit like Manchester City, Guardiola, look, same type of football.
Right.
Their defense was awful last season. Yet they paid £50 million for John Stones. So let's put it all into perspective. At the end of the day, so it's the style of football we play will result in us conceding goals, but we do need to upgrade in both our central defenders. If we keep Kalas, Ream needs to be basically put on the back foot and actually get somebody else to put him under more pressure, because he did have a good second of the season.
He did.
But do we need to upgrade there? Potentially, yes. But I think it's unfair because I think Ream did play well since January.
Okay. But for you, with this pairing, you definitely want upgrades regardless.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, if we have Kalas plus one other, with Ream could be a little bit more flexible, can play as a fullback or can cover one of those two. But I think Ream is ahead of Maddle, let's put it that way. And and Sigurdsson, you know, I think if we sell him the best, better than, to be honest, I don't think he's got any future at the club. So in order, it'd be Kalas, Ream and Maddle as my first three with the club, if we were to sign Kalas.
Okay, excellent. All right, Giannis, over to you. I understand where Emilio's going on this, rating them very low for the position because we can't include Kalas. He's not a Fulham player right now, so I understand why he went so low. Do you go that low? And do you agree with Emilio that we need to upgrade potentially both center backs?
Yes and yes. I'd give us a rating of 4. This, to me, is the biggest problem on the pitch. I know there's a lot of fans want Kalas back. I happen to like Kalas, but Kalas for me is a third choice centre back. We've got to upgrade. Ream had a very good second half of the season, but is he going to continue that vein? Maddle was a disappointment. Sigurdsson might as well have been swimming off the Icelandic coast. So there has to be a way we can really upgrade here. Because our expansive style means we're a little bit more kamikaze than other teams, which is brilliant because it means we'll score goals. But the problem's going to be, unless you've got absolute top-notch goalkeeping, can you afford to have that sort of the lack of quality at centre-backs? And the answer is no. So it would be great if we get Kalas, but I still think we need to get someone who who's better than everybody we've got right now. Okay. And that's going to be the challenge.
Okay, so for you, and again, I'm basing this on what we have right now. That's why I said upgrade at both center backs, potentially, because Collis is not part of the mix yet, and you think that we should also bring in one more. You're not convinced of Tim Ream being the other center back.
It's not that. I just think that we need to get quality in. And
okay.
if Callas, we sign Callas and he's number two or number three, let's say number three, that tells you that our two centre back pairings very, very strong. Is it Ream? It could be, but we still need a stud at the back and the middle. And right now we don't have one.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right. Let's move on to a very interesting position, left back. This is going to be very interesting. There are a couple scenarios we need to discuss on here. Let's start with Ryan Sessegnon, who signed his professional contract along with his brother, Stephen. Huge news. I want your thoughts on that. Also, Fulham sold Scott Malone to Huddersfield Town. So you're down a left back. So what is your analysis of the left back position? We could talk about Malone. You could talk about Sessegnon and give a rating for the position in general.
Well, first and foremost, I wish Scott Malone nothing but the very, very best of success. I mean, what an absolute steal that was for us with the Jazz Richards nonsense. So, I'm not so sure he's the one that wanted the move. I think it was the club said, okay, we can make some money. It was a good bit of business. I wish him all the best at Huddersfield. I thought he did a super job. Ryan Sessegnon scored a couple of super goals today for England under 19s.
He did.
And he's looking scary right now. And that's what scares me, because, of course, the more he plays, the better he becomes, the more he's going to get noticed, the more, you know, the Sharks, the big clubs are going to start hovering around. I'd say right now at left back, we're at eight. But I do think that at his age, he needs some help. And we obviously have to get a left back. And do we want to start with Sessegnon? I don't have a problem starting with Sessegnon at left back, but I still think it would be good for him to learn from more experienced players. So I'm sure that Slavisa has put that as a priority now that we have lost Scott. Because, I mean, you lose a player, you've got to replace him. It's that simple. So that is going to be a... there's going to be a sense of urgency in terms of Sessegnon. Sessegnon may well start the season. But, of course, that doesn't legislate for injuries, disciplinary issues, etc., illness, etc., etc. So we're going to need another left-back. So on his own, I say we're at eight. But obviously we're going to need some depth, or we're going to need someone to come in and help him out.
Okay, very good there. Just want to mention, because we'll be talking about him in a little bit when we talk about right-back, but Dennis Odoi right now still with Fulham. Actually came in as a left back, but was moved over to right back. So that might be an option if he stays with Fulham. But there's speculation with him as well. Like I said, we'll talk about him in a little bit. Over to you, Emilio. I want your thoughts about the left back position.
Getting fullbacks is always one of the hard. I think Fulham hasn't traditionally had the best fullbacks in recent memory. To be honest, I think to actually get someone of the likes of Scott Malone, who in my opinion was a bargain of the century with the exchange 12 months ago with Jazz Richards, and to sell him at a several million pound profit. You know, that's an excellent bargain there. But my opinion is part of Ryan Sessegnon's signing the 3-year contract was play me as a starting 11. He wouldn't have signed if he was going to be back up to Scott Malone, or there was a bit of 50-50 around who would play in that position. I think Ryan Sessegnon's a year older, a year wiser. What Yanis is just saying now, he's playing for the under-19s and scoring for fun as well. He'll be starting week in, week out now. It's who's going to be his backup as opposed to who's he going to come in for. So I think that's the reason why Scott Malone also felt, well, I can't guarantee starting each game. Ryan Sessegnon has now signed a contract. I've got a Premier League team also knocking on the door. I think it was a win-win all round. Scott didn't want to go, but he's got the opportunity to play at the Premier League. Ryan's got the opportunity now to start week in, week out. You know, I still think that we've got a gap there. You know, okay, Odoi can play in that position, but...
yeah.
You know, only having a one recognised left back in Ryan Sessegnon, who's only 19, that's worrying. So I think position strength wise, we're probably still a 6 out of 10 until we can get somebody else to cover for him. You know, we've played Tim Ream in the past in that position, looked very uncomfortable, not very certain. Who else do we have coming up through the ranks? I'm not sure we've got anyone of that ilk who can who's capable enough to play in the Championship week in, week out. So 6 out of 10 strength wise. Great that we've got Ryan Session for 3 years. He will be starting week in, week out, but we need some cover in that space, to Yanis's point.
And I agree with that, but let me go back to, let's talk about Session a little bit more, because I think his future, I could be wrong about this, is going to be farther up the pitch in midfield. So do we bring in a left back that can also give us the flexibility, Emilio, that allows them to put him in midfield at times and against certain opponents?
Yeah, I think so. I think Savisa likes to have options rather than players who are fixed in certain positions. It's the style of football he plays. He looks for versatility amongst players. He looks for people who can cover for one another. That whole team ethics. So you're not conventional left back or right back. He'll be looking for somebody who can either play and alternate with Session as well. Session, we've seen against for England, playing further up the pitch, is scoring goals, and he's very, very, very dangerous. And when he played for us last season in midfield, equally looked very dangerous. But defensively, he's got to improve there. But still a question mark. Where is his preferred position? Is it right. left back or is it left midfield?
Right.
I think maybe we might. Who knows? He's got room for both. He can play in both positions. So that goes back to that sort of versatility of the top player. That
flexibility.
Right, and that's crucial under Slavisa's style of football. So, but either way, even if he was to be the regular fullback, we still need cover in that space.
Absolutely, you're right about that. Regardless, they need another left back.
Yeah, and alternatively, if his desired position is to be central or left midfield, then our left back situation is 0 out of 10 in terms of strength. So it's either way, we need cover or strengthen in that space without a shadow of a doubt.
Listen, I agree with both of you on the left back position. Let's move to the other fullback. Let's talk about the right back position. This is interesting as well. I've already mentioned Dennis Odoi, but there's speculation with him back in Belgium. We'll have to see how that plays out. And then, of course, you got Ryan Fredericks and Emilio. There's speculation with him. It's a little old, so I don't know how real it is. I don't know if things have moved on from him, if it's just paper talk, but there was speculation with him linking him to Watford. Very interesting situation. So let's talk about the right back position currently with Ryan Fredericks and Dennis Odoi.
If we were to secure their signing or them to stay at the club for the next season, I think 7 out of 10. I think those two, not bad. But Ryan Fredericks, you saw in the last third of the season, running out of steam. My concern about Ryan Fredericks is take away his pace. Defensively, I'm very nervous when he he's very prone to sort of lashing out or, kicking out on opponents' players. The ability for him to get yellow cards is very high. His strike rate for yellow cards is high. And he puts us at risk with his red cards and with his temperament at times. And I do worry about him when he gets caught out of play, running back in defence. He made some crucial tackles at the end, throughout the season last year. But what does he got? Over 46 games, and I've said this before, and people can slag me off as much as they want, but over 46 games, how many goals did he score and how many assists did he create? With all that pace, with all that endeavour, with all that energy, how many points did he gain for us up front? Very little. Although that his final ball could be better. And defensively, he's not the strongest. So the fact that he's linked with Watford is a bit of old news. But
right,
if they took him and gave him some good money, I wouldn't say no, put it that way. Okay. I'm not a Ryan Fredericks fan, but I put my hand up. He had a good season last year, certainly for a good two-thirds of the season. But the last third, he ran out of steam, looked very tired. And his temperament, his lack of sort of final ball into the box, not good enough for me. And I think we do need to potentially put him more under strength. Because I think Odoi should be given more game time next season. I'd like to see Odoi coming a bit more conservative in defence, but offers a different type of option. They're two very different players. Again, this shows the versatility of Slavisa, the way he plays. But at the moment, they both stay for Fulham, 7.5 out of 10. If one of them goes, then again, we're at risk again, back to about 3 out of 10.
Okay, so you're couching it both ways.
Yeah.
If one decides to go and... Yeah. We'll have to see how this all plays out, but as it's constituted right now, we have these two right backs. Okay, Yanis, over to you. I want to get your thoughts about the right back position. Do you agree with Emilio, or do you have a different take here?
Well, I do like Ryan Fredericks. I'm a big fan of his, but Emilio's right in terms of his productivity. But
what about his temperament?
It's evolving. It's evolving. Yeah, it's evolving. I think that's where the need for greater experience on the park is important. Somebody can get them by the scruff of the neck and say, look, calm it down. And I'm not talking about a Joey Barton either. But Dennis Odoi hasn't, apart from that sublime piece of skill first game of the season against Newcastle, he's not convinced me. Okay. And with the rumours that he wants to go back to, or that he might be going back to Belgium, I think he came from Ostend, then we're going to once again look to get cover. And it's funny how this fit theme seems to be, you know, floating around this show around the need for defensive help. You know, yep. Whether it's the goalkeeper, the centre backs, or the right back, and even the left back needs cover. One of the priorities surely was at the end of the season defensively we need to be better, and the keeping needs to be better as well. Because if you look at our midfield and even up front to an extent, we're a strong side. So I want Fredericks to stay. Unless there's a very good, you know, an irresistible offer that comes in. But I still think we need cover because I believe that Odoi will end up going back to Belgium. But there are plenty of players out there. There are plenty of free agents, Russ, right now who are out of contract. There are always bargains, players who want a second chance, you know, to resurrect their career, to get themselves a better contract. You know what it's like with baseball and football, same sort of thing. They'll try and get the one-year deal that will maybe put them back on the map, and they'll be hungry to, you know, to get some success. So I don't think it's an urgent situation because I think there are a lot of players out there that can fit the bill for us. But I do think if you've only got Fredericks, you certainly need, if not an upgrade, certainly some cover.
Okay, and what would you put at it at this point?
I'm going to say 6.5. It's 6.5. And I do like Fredericks. I do. I actually don't. I don't really have a problem with this. His temperament. So he's a little bit fiery. Okay. You know, that can be tempered on the field. I mean, once you get across the white lines, the players have to police it. Slavisa can do what he wants and the coaching staff, but somebody has to be, an old wise head has to be on the field. We don't really, really have that yet. And that's where I think the loss of Scott Parker's can be felt, even though he didn't play as many games as some of us would have liked. So, you know, somebody who's going to be experienced on the pitch that will calm things down and calm players down. And that's sometimes what I think Fredericks needs.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, let's now go to central midfield. I'm going to call this the central midfield three because it really is about these three guys. But then there are other players as well, and we have some storylines here. There was some speculation earlier on with Kevin McDonald, but I think he's someone that I think we all agree needs to stay at Fulham. He's been a rock. You also have Stefan Johansson. And then, of course, you have the re-signing. I think this is one of the biggest storylines this summer has to be the re-signing of Tom Kearney. We have to talk about that. Other players, they did bring in a player, Ibrahima Cisse, who is a defensive midfielder. We also have LVC still with Fulham. So there are other options there. And, of course, you have the retirement, like you mentioned, Giannis of Scott Parker. A lot going on in central midfield. So I want to get your thoughts on it all and give us a rating.
Well, I'll give the rating first. For me, it's a 9.
I agree.
It's the best part of our team. And you've got a fabulous threesome there, and not even using Viggo Christensen, who I really hope is going to get a serious look this year. I've always been hugely high on this kid, and I think he deserves to stay as part of the squad. I thought he to all intents and purposes, with reports, he did very well at Burton Albion. He was a starter there. He's still a young player. I think we've got him contracted till next year. Do we need upgrading there? I would say no. Although, there might be someone out there that can maybe help. But I think right now, looking, and I've had a chance to look through the squads of the division right now, the way they stand, and to me, we have the best central midfield foursome, actually, including Viggo Christensen in the division. I don't think any team comes close. I think it's the front center, the fulcrum, the pivot, the equilibrium point of our whole team. Everything revolves around going through the thirds, and our central third, in terms of the central midfield, is absolutely outstanding. Could we upgrade? You can always upgrade. Right now, I think there we're in very, very good shape.
Okay. And listen, I've called this one of the best signs. I'm going to change that. I'm going to say this is the best signing this summer is the re-signing of Tom Kearney.
Oh, God, yeah.
People can argue that it's Sessegnon. I think it's Kearney. Would you agree with me?
Oh, absolutely. Although the Sessegnon signing scares me a little bit because...
Why?
Because Sessegnon, the trajectory that he's on right now, the way he's playing, the way he's presenting himself, his development as a player, means that... I reckon he could be gone by the end of the year. I reckon a big team is going to come in and they're going to pay big bucks for this kid. I think he's going to be that good. He's scary good right now, and there are so many clubs out there with so much money. I mean, you look at, I know it's a different position, but you look at the signing, you know, United signing 75 million of Lukaku, which I think is absolute insanity. But
I don't know if he's going to fit there.
I'm not sure. I think. I mean, we said before the show, I'm very happy that Rooney's gone back to Everton. I wish him nothing but success. But Sessegnon is going to be a fine, fine player and a full England international, and possibly a lot sooner than even we think. And there are the clubs right now with the most money have so much money that it's almost like kids watching violence on TV. We've become desensitized to the money. And Sessegnon right now, is, you know, I can't see him staying more than a year. I might be wrong, but Kearney is such a, he's the most important player in this team. He was our MVP, I thought, deservedly so. And he's getting better and better and better, and he's still not hit his peak. And, you know, that was a tremendous signing for us. And he might have been tempted to leave, but he's loyal and he wants to stay here, and we've given him the opportunity to develop his career, and Slavica and the coaching staff have been a big part of that. So I think it's fantastic news that he's staying with the club.
Okay, very good. And just one last thing on my comment about Lukaku. I just don't think that's the right location for me. That he's a goal scorer. He could score anywhere. I just don't know if he should have went someplace else. That was the only reason I was going on Lukaku.
Well, it's an interesting one now, because you've got Marouane Fellaini there, and you've got Lukaku, you've got two Belgians. And I'm almost cheekily thinking that that Mourinho might pick up the phone and try and get Eden Hazard from Chelsea. You know, because they've got Belgium, let's be honest, at the national level, they've got some tremendous. Look at Moussa Dembélé, for example.
Yeah.
You know, there's Thomas Vermaelen. There's some cracking players. Axel Witsel. But the problem, you know, becomes, again, the cost. 75 million. I mean, Everton are having a good laugh. They're having a good laugh. And United are rumoured to be paying half of Rooney's wages. Plus, they're getting Rooney on a free transfer. It's become crazy money. But that's why the Kearney thing has been good business for us.
It has. And Emilio, I want to go to you. I'm now on the record as saying I think this is the signing. And it's a re-signing of the summer for Fulham. I think this is the most important one. Others might point to Ryan Sessegnon. I think it's Tom Kearney. But I also want to get your thoughts of central midfield in general. So give a rating on that. And anything else you want to share about the position?
Just covering off one last comment on the Sessegnon situation. I think, you know, again, it's good financial, you know, security there for Fulham Football Club. You know, they've tied him down to a 3-year contract. These big clubs that Yanis referred to will probably come into play in a year's time, but there'll probably be some exit clauses in that contract as well. So the likes of Tottenham Hotspur, Liverpool, you want him, pay what he's worth. You're not going to get him on the cheap. So in my opinion, you know, great financial signing as well as getting, you know, securing somebody of that ilk for 3 years. So we should have done that with Moussa Dembélé 18 months ago, and we didn't. So we've learned from our mistakes. So that's a big thing. But from a Tom Kearney, from actually on the pitch, big player, captain, yeah, absolutely. You know, Newcastle was sniffing, have supposedly made a £20 million bid. You know, he committed his cause to Fulham Football Club, and, you know, he could have had the easy option, go to Newcastle, play in the Premier League, but he wants to finish off the job here at Fulham and get the club promoted. And so it's a massive coup to get him, you know, on a long-term contract. But you look at that midfield, you know, what Yanis has said is spot on. You know, these three players were the top three players amongst the supporters last season. So that says it all, in my opinion. So, you know, the three players within the central midfield were the three supporters players of the year you won't get better in the division. I think all the transfer speculation with Kevin McDonald, I think that's gone away. It's all gone a little bit quiet in recent weeks. Johansson, I love the player. You know, to be honest, I think he's consistency week in, week out. His work rate is phenomenal. And Kearney's just is maturing week on week. He's now got that captain's armband for good. Scott Parker's gone. this guy's going to develop into a big player, and he's a catalyst to get us into the Premier League next season. But Cisse's also, we've now got backup with Cisse as well. Let's not forget him. You know, he's coming with a good pedigree. We've been linked with him in the past. Young, again, ticks the boxes from what Klein's trying to do. So if selection criteria, it hits all those marks as well. So we've got some good cover there. Better than we had Petzos last year. We've now got Cisse. That's a massive upgrade from last season. And the fact that we've got LVC, I'd like to see, like Sienna said, I'd like to see him get some game time next year. But he's going to have a challenge trying to force Kevin McDonald, Johansson, or Kenny out of the team. So, but
I agree.
Healthy competition is good.
Okay. Very what would you give it for a rating overall?
9 out of 10. It's got to be a 9, 9.5. It's the best in the division. And if they stay injury free, like they were predominantly for the most of last season, then the other teams should beware.
Okay. Before we move on to the midfield, Emilio, I want to go back to both of you. I forgot to mention this player. Fulham also sold Yothabet. So I want to get your thoughts of selling him, Emilio, and then I'll go to you, Giannis.
Yeah, not surprised. You know, I only saw a handful of games last autumn when he played, but he looked slow. He looked a Serie A sort of La Liga type of play. It doesn't fit the hustle and bustle of physical presence of a championship type of football team. You know, undoubted talent, skillful, but he just reminded me of Brian Ruiz in many respects. Yeah. A lot of talent, a lot of skill, just wanting a bit too much time on the ball. You just don't have that at this level. And the fact that we've broken even there or thereabouts by selling him back to a La Liga team, it's no point in keeping somebody who's not going to get any game time. He played in Spain, did well from last season, did well in the Europa League as well for Celta Vigo. Yeah. You know, so again, financially, let's take the money and let's look at reinforcing in areas where we need some cover and some strength. So good financial sense. Shame we didn't get to see the most of him, but he just reminded me of sort of a slightly weaker version of Brian Ruiz. Very, very similar.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Giannis, your thoughts quickly.
I actually couldn't put it better myself. The fans at Celta Vigo absolutely loved Yozabet. And it just wasn't the fit. I mean, Brian Ruiz is actually talent-wise one of my all-time favorite Fulham players. I just loved watching him play. But the problem was, of course, he was a little bit slow, but he had moments of absolute sheer bloody genius. And every club he's been at, he's done well. I mean, he's doing great at Sporting Lisbon. Now he's captain of the Costa Rican team. Yozabed, the fit in terms of the speed and the tenacity and the physicality of the championship just wasn't set. So it's good business for us, but I feel bad that it didn't work out. Sometimes you get good players and then it just doesn't work out in terms of the style of play. Not so much of the team, but maybe of the league that you're going into. And I think the fits clearly wasn't there in terms of this division.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, let's move on. Let's now look at the midfield in general. We're talking about players like Sonny Lucco, Niskins Cabano, Floyd Ayite. Not seeing much speculation with these players, which is a good thing, and I want your thoughts about these players and give a rating.
The first person I'm actually going to mention isn't on that list, and I do want to get him back. That's Lucas Piazon.
Oh, okay.
I'm a big fan, and I think that I think he's available, and I think that he's someone who brings a bit of quality and a little bit of class. The lad's still only 23. He's not exactly going to be getting a lot of playing time. I mean, he's been out on, let's be honest, this kid has been out the last 5 seasons on loan. He's had only one game for Chelsea. He spent some time at Malaga and Vitesse Arnhem, went to Bundesliga Eintracht, Reading, let's not forget, and then us. 26 appearances last year. So is he going to be sent out on loan? Probably. Is he available? He's still only 23. Probably yes. Would I get him in a heartbeat? The question's going to be, how much is it going to cost, or could we possibly get him back on loan? I think he brings some quality. Okay. The remaining midfielders you're talking about, there's quality there, but not necessarily in consistency. So I think that's something where, you know, Slavisa's got to look at ensuring that if you've got the consistency as a central midfielder, the players that you've got wide have got to contribute. I think Piazon is someone that is, if we can get him, is an upgrade. But we do have enough depth in terms of our wide players to say that our midfield is the best in the division still. So I'd put that as an 8.
Okay.
But if you bring Piazon in, if you can get him, I think you upgrade that group to an 8.5.
Okay, very interesting. Over to you, Emilio. What your thoughts on these players? And feel free to share your thoughts on what Giannis just mentioned as well. I see these players as being very similar, interchangeable parts, and I think they do similar things. That's a good thing. But I want to get your overall thoughts on these wide players.
Yeah, so if you actually look on the Fulham website, I was looking at the other day, you know, actually a Yeete and a Luka classified as forwards on the website,
right,
as opposed to midfielders. So my view is, you know, they are inconsistent at this point. They are very similar. I agree with that. Do they score enough goals? That's a challenge. You know, again, where we're playing, you know, where these are the central midfield are very strong, best in the division. The amount of opportunities we create for these guys is immense. And, you know, sometimes, you know, Luka's trickery on the ball is amazing, watching him week in, week out. But, you know, what little hair I have, he makes, you know, sometimes you just want to tear that little hair out of my head because it's so inconsistent, it's so frustrating at times. Ayite didn't finish off the season particularly well. He came back from injury and maybe didn't look particularly sharp. So, again, quick, versatile, can play wide, can play in a forward position. But as a backup, he doesn't score enough goals as a centre forward. And Cabano, you've seen him. He's probably been more effective as a superstar than actually as a starting 11. So, you know, there's a bit of versatility there. They are very similar. They've all got pace. They've all got trickery. They can all score goals, but they can possibly do more as well in terms of end product. So I'm going to say a 7.5 out of 10 there. And the Lucas Piazon, again, I think not a big fan. I don't think he does enough for me. Again, end product. You know, how many assists does he create? How many goals does he score? Someone of that undoubted talent and that capability should be offering more, in my opinion. And will he offer much more by keeping it in the team? I'm sure we can get better. That might disappoint a lot of fans who like his attitude, his endeavour, his energy, his love for the club. And that goes without saying. I do like that side of his game. But the physical end product, his overall contribution over 90 minutes, I don't think he does enough for me. You know, I think we have to carry him at times. And there's an element of a Brian Ruiz type of player there who maybe sometimes has a lot to offer but doesn't actually offer enough to play week in, week out. So he's an option to re-sign. But I think we shouldn't be too hungry to sign him with me. I think we should look at other options. His overall contribution and the games, 26 games he played that Yanis mentioned, how many goals and assists did he create? I don't think enough to warrant a regular starting 11 place. So let's keep him in the back of our minds, but I wouldn't rush in a hurry to sign him unless the price is right.
Okay, very interesting. All right. And like you mentioned, Emilio, because now we're going to talk about the striker position, some of the players we just talked about can play the forward position. But let's just talk about just striker position in general. I think this is an issue, a huge issue. I think we need a solution here.
We do.
So let's talk about who's there right now. Right now, the only player that I would categorize as potentially going to be playing there, you know, listen, we can mention Stephen Humphries potentially down the road. I don't think he's ready for it. George Williams potentially down the road. But right now, it's Colley Woodrow is the player you have there right now if you went for one striker up front. So let's talk about the striker position. Like Giannis mentioned earlier, there's a good amount of speculation with this player from Bordeaux in France, Diego Rolland. So we'll see if that happens, but nothing's happened right now. Let's talk about the striker position. Let's rate it because right now it's bare.
Yeah, if we look at it purely as an authentic center forward, we've really
only got one. That way.
We've only got one recognized authentic center forward in Colley Woodrow, who me and Giannis have both been fans of his in the past.
Right.
Yes, he can score goals. Is he prolific enough? No, he's not. But he seems to get game times for England under 23. He played well for Burton last season without necessarily being prolific either. So let's be honest. He helped get them out of relegation trouble. He contributed well. I heard he missed a few opportunities as well, a few sitters. So at his age, is he ever going to become the prolific striker that we need? I don't think he ever will be. So I don't think we can rely on him to be our starting 11, first and foremost. He's a good cover. But someone that young, someone that hungry, will probably want to start playing games week in, week out. He doesn't want to be a bit part player and won't want to keep going online. For his own sake, he probably needs to move on. You know, if I was in his shoes, move on to another championship team, get regular game time and prove that you can be prolific and score 20-odd goals a season. Whoever we get in that position as your starting authentic number 11, we need to get somebody who can score 20, 25 goals a season. At the moment, Woodrow won't offer that. Ayite won't give us 25 goal season, nor will Aluko, nor will Cabana. So whatever you want to classify these as centre-forwards, attacking midfielders, there isn't a 20, 25-man striker there. And we've been linked with Diego Rolan.
Yep.
Again, from what I've seen, not prolific in Bordeaux either. Young, capable, strong. Right, maybe like the Chris Martin type of strong type of player that we need. But he's unproven in the British League. And that's a worry for me as well. You know, surely at this level, let's get a proven striker, somebody who knows the championship and the makeup of the championship and is strong, physical, and scores goals back to back. Tammy Abraham was a good example. He went back to Chelsea and they reloaned him out to Swansea City. So yeah. We need to be getting in that position a recognised British or a UK person who plays in the championship or has played in the Premier League to play in that centre forward position. I'm just nervous. You get a foreign striker, there's an immediate risk there.
Okay. You know, so what would you put it at right now? It has to be low.
It has to be low. It has to be 2 or 3 out of 10. Seriously, you can put makeshift forwards. You can put Aluko in there as a makeshift centre forward.
Right.
You see, he scored a few goals, but he missed 10 times more.
It's not good enough.
Up and down. Yeah, you know, I'm not sure he's a natural goal scorer per se. Yeah. Cabano is, you know, it can be quite clinical in front of goal, but that's not his natural position either. So with only Colin Woodrow, you're unrecognised forward.
That's right.
We've really got nobody prolific there at the moment. So
I agree.
Maximum of 2 out of 10.
Okay, very good. Giannis, I know you're a fan of Collies, and I'm sure you want him to get a shot here, but would you agree with Emilio and myself that we need a prolific, you know, and I'll use that word, striker here. We need someone that can score 20 to 25 goals.
I'm not totally convinced that with the midfield we've got, we need somebody who needs to score 20 to 25 if the midfield does the job. The central midfielder, I come from a different angle. If the central midfielder chip in with the goals they can, and we've got enough talent in the centre of the park and with the wide players, I think you could even put up with somebody who scores 15 goals a season. And I think if you look at the strikers we've got now, well, we've got Corley Woodrow, and you're absolutely right. I'm a massive fan of Corley. I'm a massive fan. And the kid is still, let's not forget this. He's even like, you know, you go back to Lucas Piazon. Piazon's 23. Corley is 22. I mean, he's still a baby. And you know what? He played very well when he was loaned out to Burton. He's done well for the minor England teams as well. I think it's more than overdue that he deserves another shot. If you're looking at Diego Rolan, it's sounding like the deal is done. It's just a matter of him agreeing to the deal. He scored 33 and 121 for Bordeaux. Ligue 1 is a physical division. So I think that's, you know, a little bit of proof that at least he can hold his own.
Do you think
he has,
it would translate, Giannis?
I think it would. I think it would. But I think it's got to have I think it's not one where we say, okay, we need a proven goal scorer is going to come in and score X amount of goals, because I don't think that necessarily translates into the sort of success we're going to need to finish top two. Will Roland be an upgrade? Absolutely. But I mentioned earlier Cameron Jerome. And Cameron Jerome is a very, very interesting fella. He is over 28, but he's the sort of player who's works hard, good in the air, and he's an antagonist. If you've got the potential of Roland and Woodrow, and I would keep Woodrow, his age more than anything else should be evidence enough that you've got to give the kid time, and then maybe get someone in like a Cameron Jerome, or you know, there are plenty of free agents, as I've said before, out there that are looking for a second chance. With the midfield we've got, we have enough goal scoring productivity potential and prowess where they can score goals. And Roland, if he comes in and scores 15 goals, that might be enough anyway.
Right.
I think he's obviously quality playing in that division. He's quality because, let's not forget, he's had the opportunity to play with people like, you know, with Diego Forlan. And and oh my god, I can't believe I've forgotten his name.
Okay.
Uruguayan striker. Am I going nuts? I'm going nuts, aren't I? Help me, help Emilio.
Suarez?
Yes, thank you, Suarez. Right, so Suarez. So you know, there's obviously pedigree there and there's quality, and what I say, why not? It sends it, and the amount of money that we're going to spend on him also sends a message. Sometimes it's about timing. I was reading an article the other day about, you know, Kostas Mitroglou. We remember the disaster surrounding that. But Mitroglou was still a very good player. But when he
bad
timing, terrible timing, and he was injured. And yeah. we never got to see the very best of this player.
No,
and his record since has suggested he's a very good player. I don't think the thing about foreign players coming in should necessarily be that much of a worry as a striker. I think that if he can, with this midfield, half-decent strikers can score goals. And if Roland comes in and we can keep Woodrow and get something like a Cameron Jerome and maybe one other, again, you know, there'll be plenty of players out there, then I think we'll be in decent shape. So
okay,
out of 10, right now, I'd give it a 3 because we've only got one striker, Woodrow. But if Woodrow's part of a 3 or a foursome, I'm good with that.
Okay, excellent. Great show, guys. Fantastic show. I have really enjoyed this. And, Emilio, I'm going to go to you first for final thoughts. But did this take care of your Fulham withdrawals?
Absolutely. It's just been fun. We've had an opportunity
to enjoy this.
You know, I have enjoyed it. It's been, you know, with only less than a month to the start of the season, I think what this has highlighted is we've got a lot of signings to make if we want to push on. I think we've shown that we've sort of released more players and actually brought players in. So we've got rid of some lighter, you know, weaker players like the Stearmans and all that. You know, not didn't really do their job at Fulham, but let's get rid of the type of players that we would have purchased 18 months ago, 2 years ago, and strengthen. But you know, pre-season matches are coming in thick and fast in the next couple of weeks. I'd like to start seeing some of these players given some game time. So we need to be signing these immediately. You know, like I said last time on the show, I don't want to wait till the 25th of May of August to start signing players, because then we've already lost half a dozen games to make a difference and start. We want to be leading from the front, not chasing, like I said last time. So to do that, I think tonight's show has effectively said we need to upgrade in all positions but central midfield. That's a worry.
That's
worrying. So if we want to be reflective here, yes, we've secured long-term signings for Kearney and Sessegnon. Fantastic, ticks in the box. We've sold Yozabed and Scott Malone for good money. Ticks in the box. We've started releasing some unwanted players. Stearman's tick in the box.
Yep.
But who's actually come in that will make a difference to the starting 11? Cisse potentially, and that is about it. That's worrying.
Okay.
And so we need. There's. That's probably where the Tom Cross interview, where I'm saying actually has some truth in it. If you look at these facts on the table. We haven't done enough.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, over to you, Giannis. Final thoughts before we go.
Well, I mean, if we did have withdrawal symptoms, I'm sure this show will have obviously helped us out. We've obviously lost a few players, and there's a couple that we've not mentioned. Jack Grimmer. And I was a Grimmer fan, but he's gone now to Shrewsbury,
you
believe.
Jack?
Yeah, Lionel Cole. I'm not sure what is this, and Ryan Tunnicliffe.
Right.
So you know, we've managed to sell quite a bunch of players. I think I'm not getting panicky yet because we've got about 5 weeks till the season starts. But I do share Emilio's slight concern that, you know, the next week or two I think is important in terms of. Really starting to see, you know, bodies coming in. Roland, I think, hopefully will be the start. And Fulham, I've mentioned before, tend to do things fairly quietly. So there might be some you know, real surprises that nobody's even thought about that are going to be coming through the gates of Craven Cottage fairly soon. But it certainly makes for an exciting next few weeks. We've got lots of exhibition games coming up. And I know that our starting lineup is going to look pretty interesting at the start of the season, and hopefully we can get off to a good start and hit the ground running.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, I have a couple of final thoughts. First of all, I just want to mention that I did this interview with Danny from Friends of Fulham, Danny Boy. That's what he's known on Friends of Fulham. Please do check that out. I had a very good conversation with him. I found him very interesting. So please check that out. We did that a few days ago, and I hope you listened to it. I thought it was very interesting. Interesting guy, nice guy. So please check that out. And one final time, like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we dedicated this episode. This episode is dedicated in the memory of Mike Gregg's mother. And Mike, I'm thinking about you, my friend. I'm thinking about you, and my thoughts are definitely with you. All right, great show, fantastic show, but it is time to go. For Emilio Danella and Yannis Shanaeus, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.